From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. President Bush has arrived in London for the start of a three-day official state visit. Just as the president's helicopter landed on the grounds of Buckingham Palace, demonstrators kicked off the first in a series of anti-Bush rallies about a mile away. NPR's Guy Raz reports from London.
The people who crowded into the Friends meeting house this evening to hear left-wing luminaries like Harold Pinter and British politician Tony Benn weren't interested in the substance of the talks Mr. Bush and Prime Minister Tony Blair are expected to hold this week. The hope among this loose alliance of aging pensioners, students, and suit-and-tie professionals is to cause maximum embarrassment for President Bush and Blair.
The absolute ideal would be to see George Bush cancelling his visit and leaving early, just deciding the disruption is far too great, the damage to his own reputation is far too great, and just having to get the hell out of London.
The protesters are hoping for an unhappy finish to Mr. Bush's visit on Thursday evening, when thousands of them are expected to clog the streets of central London. Senior British officials say when the President and Blair do meet on Thursday, the Prime Minister will push for a softer approach to fighting militants in Iraq. But that's no consolation for demonstrators like James Rees, one of the key organizers.
The unpopularity of this administration is because our government has gone to war for reasons which most people now think were a deception. There are no weapons of mass destruction. The troops are not greeted as liberators, but as conquerors. And I think that people feel that this is a cause worth taking up on the streets, and that's why they're protesting.
The Mall, the grand boulevard leading up to Buckingham Palace, is now lined with fluttering American and British flags. Metropolitan Police official Andy Trotter says over the next 3 days, some 14,000 police officers will be used to protect the president. Trotter says it's Scotland Yard's largest ever security operation.
The combination of security concerns, public disorder, disruption to London, all of those things coming together over a period of 4 days makes this a very complex operation indeed.
The White House had made several requests that simply couldn't be accommodated. For example, the Secret Service wanted to retrofit the historic room in Buckingham Palace where the president's staying. Fixtures would have included blast-strength concrete walls and bulletproof glass. There was even talk that the Queen herself would have to wear an identity badge. A 700-person team from Washington will set up such a sophisticated surveillance center inside the palace that the Queen's own satellite television set will be blocked for 3 days. You can't get within 300 yards of the palace anymore, particularly because last night, one determined demonstrator, a 61-year-old grandmother called Lindis Percy, managed to climb the front gate of Buckingham Palace and unfurl a banner.
I walked up to the gate, put my reflector jacket on, took the flag that had the words Elizabeth Windsor and Company, he's not welcome, in my pocket, and climbed the gate.
Despite the widespread opposition in London, William Shawcross, a writer and staunch defender of the president, points to a poll released today that shows a significant number of Britons still believe America is a force for good in the world.
So I don't frankly see what the protests are about. I understood that people didn't want us to go to war in Iraq. I thought they were wrong, but I think it was a perfectly understandable position not to want the war. But now, what are we supposed to do? What do the protesters want? If we pulled out of Iraq now, every single Iraqi knows it would be complete bloody chaos and hundreds of thousands of people would die.
It's a message Tony Blair is trying to convey as well. According to senior British officials, Blair plans to push the president to retain a sizable U.S. military presence in Iraq until the country is stable, perhaps well beyond the next U.S. election. Guy Raz, NPR News, London.